I'm going to talk to you today about this is your season. And for this particular meeting, the Lord gave me a scripture for you. But before I go through that scripture, I have to actually go through a little bit of teaching first. So let's just say a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. Lord, I yield to you and pray that you will express your love to all those who hear, and that by the end of this teaching, that no one will be the same as when they came in. In Jesus' name, amen. John 10:10, it says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly. So one of the things as I was meditating this, I saw very clearly that if the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, then if he cannot steal from you, and if he cannot kill you, and if he cannot destroy you, then he doesn't come. Isn't that interesting? So in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, it actually sheds a little light on how the thief comes. It says that, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So his method of communication is actually thought. And when I first saw that, it kind of blew my mind. I'm like, wow, he went to hell. He got cast out of heaven because of what he said in his heart. He didn't even say it out loud. And so that's his method of communication, is thought. And he uses suggestive thoughts to deceive. It's what he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. It says that now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said you should not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's really interesting about that, because when you look at that scripture, you could clearly see that when he presented that to Eve, you could clearly see that it was never meant for us to know evil. And so Satan deceives many Christians into thinking that because they are saved, that there is no penalty for sin. And actually, what is pretty interesting is that you remember when man fell, God cursed the ground, and he said, cursed is the ground, Adam, for your sake. So he wasn't cursing the ground to actually punish mankind, because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, he says that when he made all things, he saw that it was very good. So everything was very good. But it's because that when man sinned, he sinned through his flesh. And so now the ground had to be cursed for man's sake. Otherwise, man couldn't die because he was made from the ground. So the ground had to be cursed for man's sake so that his body can decay and he could die. And so here comes Cain, and he begins to offer unto God something that he already rejected. He offered unto God the fruit of the ground, and God has already rejected it. And so when you look at that, as far as our lives are concerned, when we offer unto God something that he's already rejected, works of the flesh, any type of sin, whatever the case is, any type of pride, any type of evil, whatever have you, God rejected those things. So it's not like, okay, you can start off doing business and you can start off being dishonest, and then all of a sudden your business is going to be blessed just because it's you. It doesn't work that way. You're offering unto God something that he already rejected. There's a right way to go about a relationship with someone. There's a wrong way to go about a relationship with someone. If you go about it the wrong way, don't be surprised if God rejects it. All right? It don't matter how much fun you have, it's not going to work. It's not going to last. And it's not that it won't, it's that it can't, because God has already rejected it. Look at what he says here. In chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 7, it says that if you do well, he's speaking, this is God speaking to Cain, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, then sin lieth at the door, and unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. God calls sin a him. And right here is where life became unpredictable, because at first Adam had dominion over all the earth. Now in verse 7 of chapter 4, now we see a new character on the scene. It is sin, and sin is now hunting mankind. It is hunting you to destroy you. Look at what it says in the Amplified. If you do well, believe in me, doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door. He's crouching at the door of your heart so he could get in. His desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it. Now, this is pretty interesting, because what I found out was that sin can cry. Now, that's one thing. You know how you hear the cry of a baby and the baby's whining. You turn around like, who is that crying? What is he crying for? What does he want? You know? But sin can cry. And the interesting thing about it is that you could be going on about your way and not hear it, because it's crying on another frequency. It's crying in the spirit. Sin cries out for judgment. Look at when the three men visited Abraham. It was actually the Lord visiting Abraham. He's like, Abraham, okay, next year this time Sarah's going to have a child. And then he thought about, okay, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? You know, with Sodom and Gomorrah. So he tells Abraham, this is what's going on, okay? And the Lord said, it says in chapter 18 of Genesis, verse 20 and 21, it says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. So sin can cry. The wages of sin is death. So just like you go to your jobs and you earn a wage, you earn a paycheck. Well, with sin, when you take advantage of sin, you earn death. And death comes in many ways or many forms. But it's the wages of sin. It's when you do this, you earn this. And so sin cries for payment. God, they took advantage of me. Pay me. Sin death. Isn't that something? That's kind of wild, isn't it? So when judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, while they were going about doing what they were doing, all right, judgment was on its way. And no one knew. And I think that the reason why no one knew is I think that they didn't consider that it could happen to them. And in a lot of ways, a lot of Christians are like that. We go about doing what we do, the various things that God did not instruct us to do, and they're displeasing to him, because we don't believe that somehow, some way, some type of calamity or some type of judgment is going to happen to us. So these are signs of sin crying out. In Zephaniah, in chapter 1, verse 12, it says, and it shall come to pass that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. So the reason why a lot of people sin, they get caught up in practicing sin, is because judgment doesn't come right away. So the Bible says, because judgment doesn't come right away, then it's in man's heart, it's set upon them to do evil, which is interesting. So, but understand something. Sin is crying. Judgment is coming. The Lord may be holding it back, or it may not have reached you yet, but it's coming. So one of the signs of sin crying out is the complacency, when people become complacent in sin. And they're like, oh, okay, well, nothing's going to happen to me. Nothing has happened. You know, I didn't hear any thundering or lightning or anything like that. When you have those thoughts, beware. Sin is crying out. Another way is in verse 13 of chapter 1 of Zephaniah. It says, therefore, their goods shall become a booty and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. So in this situation, and this happens to so many Christians, and I alluded to this last time I was teaching in May, that these are near misses. No matter how promising things look, whether it's building houses, building businesses, building relationships, their plans never come to fruition. And the reason why is they are plagued with near misses. That's an example of your sin is crying out. That should alert you. There's pollution somewhere. If I got my hopes up and these plans are solid and then it doesn't happen, there's pollution somewhere. Something needs to be fixed. God says, judge yourselves so that you're not judged. Turn unto me with your whole hearts. Do it by yourself so that I don't have to judge you. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it's verse 31 or somewhere around there. All right. So in verse 17 of Zephaniah, it says, and I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. So one of the signs that sin is crying out is that you will have spiritual blindness. You think that you're going the right way, but you're just wasting your time. And you realize that after you waste your time, you're like, man, I just wasted my time with this thing. I just wasted my time with this person. I just wasted my time with this business opportunity. And the reason why you feel like that is because there's some spiritual blindness, which means that there's something within you that needs to be corrected. So here's God's warning. In Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 2-3, it says, before the decree bring forth, which means that sin cries and he's crying out in the court of God and he's crying out for God to make it right. Give him his payment. Right. And so when that happens, it has nothing to do with God's love for you. They're going to God based upon his word. And so when they go to him based upon his word, if he says, OK, well, I'm not going to do it for the sake of them because I love them, then he can't judge the devil. So he judges based upon legality. It's what his word says. There's a violation of his word. Sin is crying out. And now God issues a decree. But before this decree comes forth, before the day passes the chafe, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. All you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in a day of the Lord's anger. So you have been given opportunities to repent, and you know it. All right. So the main thing is this, to abstain from sin. There's nothing that can derail your business like anything else, but sin. I mean, sin can really derail your business. And then here's another thing. There's this scripture that says that, you want to stay away from sin and don't partake in the sin that so easily beset us, right? That's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And so that word beset, I used to think that it meant to set you back. But it doesn't really mean to set you back directly. It's an indirectly setback, but doesn't mean it directly. It means when you have opportunities, you think about the way lions seize opportunities, right? They're just going about their day, and then all of a sudden they hear a herd of cattle coming, right? And then they perk up and they look, ooh, we can eat. And so then what they do is as the cattle become closer, they start running. And what they're doing is they're getting up their momentum so that when that opportunity comes and they meet that opportunity, they have to be flowing at the speed of that opportunity. Otherwise, that opportunity will kill them. The cattle will run them over. All right. So what that means is beset. The sin that does so easily beset you, that word beset means to keep you from running. And so God wants you to stay away from sin that has the potential to always keep you from running, to keep you from seizing opportunities that he has for you so that you can get rid of that plague of having near misses. You'll be at the right momentum and the right speed, hearing the right things, right? And there's no pollution there, so you'll be able to seize those opportunities and you can actually realize the blessing of God. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. In Romans, it says in chapter 13, verse 14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So I always say that when you're pursuing God, there's always a point of no return that you get to. And that point of no return, one of the key revelations that will set you on a path of no return to pursue God and never turn back from sin is to make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Because at the end of the day, the flesh profits nothing. The end of that decision, when you engage in the flesh, that has no profit, no profit manifests itself as loss. It manifests itself as suffering. It manifests itself in a shortened life. It manifests itself in missed opportunities, in shame, in embarrassment, in sickness, in emptiness. You ever go about, you know, and you have these feelings, these deep-seated feelings in your heart of emptiness? Anytime that happens, that is your spirit saying to you, what are you doing with your life? Whenever you have those periods of emptiness, it doesn't necessarily happen all the time, and you can't really call it depression, but it's just a feeling. It's like, wow, what am I doing? Like, what do I have to show for it? Or whatever the case is, right? That is your spirit each and every time you feel that emptiness saying to you, what are you doing with your life? Is looking for a change of course. And so it's like with repentance, right? When you're looking at repentance, right? Let's just talk about that for one quick second. Repenting, let's say if you're going to Walmart, repenting doesn't mean, God, I'm sorry for going to Walmart, and then you still go to Walmart. Repentance means to have a change of heart. It means to confess to God, Lord, forgive me for going to Walmart, and then to turn and stop going to Walmart. That's the way repentance works. That's the way it should be. So there are people here that may have already repented, may have gotten caught up in any type of sin. It could be anything. It could be sexual. It could be gossip. It could be envy. It could be strife. It could be whatever the case is. And you've already repented. Well, God has a message for you that I will get to in a minute. And then there are those people who this just does not apply to at all. Well, this message that I have for you that I'm going to share with you, this scripture that God gave me, this applies to you as well. All right. But if it's been on your heart to repent, but you haven't gotten around to it yet, just say this prayer after me. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come before you now, confessing my sin to you. You said in your word in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, if I say that I have no sin, I am deceiving myself. And the truth is not in me. But if I confess my sin, you, Lord, are faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me, Lord. Give me the inner strength and the wisdom to never go back to sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, going forward, in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 13, it says that the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. So going forward, you shall honor the Lord. And as you honor the Lord, you shall have peace. So here's God's message to you. I love you. I truly love you. And I have held back your judgment to give you time to repent. And so going forward, you shall never again behave so arrogantly as if you're not going to have any consequences for your behavior. And here's his message to you. And this is the time to shout for joy. In chapter 3 of Zephaniah, verse 14, it says, shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice, be in high spirits, and glory with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, in that day. Now, here is the scripture that God has for you. He says, and this applies to you, whether you have been caught up in sin and you just repented, whether you repented now or whether you have no sin at all. This is your season. And the Lord has taken away thy judgments. He has cast out thy enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. And that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, said the Lord. Now, when he talks about turning back your captivity, he's saying that I will prosper you in such a way that no one will ever know you abound. There will be not even a sign that you were caught up in the things that you were caught up in. There will never be a sign that you were struggling the way you were struggling. So God is saying in this season, all you have to do is honor me. Just honor me. Fear not, for I am with you. And let not your hands be slack. Whatever business you do, do it with your might. And watch what I do for you. Did you get something out of that? I pray that you did. Let's just say a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for everyone here, Lord, that your blessings will be upon them, that your hand will be upon them, that you will enlarge their territory, that you will cause your favor to rest upon them, that you will keep them from evil, that they may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen. I think maybe 3.5 minutes that I can answer maybe a couple of quick questions. If you want to unmute yourselves. Anyone?
Question.
Yes.
What about, like, say, you said, like, even the simplest thing, repenting about, like, even eating, like, say, I'm not going to eat this today, and I'm lying to myself, I'm not going to eat what I said I'm not going to eat, stuff like that. Would that affect your, I guess, your walk with God as far as repenting?
Whatever is not a faith is sin. So whatever goes against what you believe in your heart, anything that affects your conscience is sin. There's a teaching that I did on that. It should be on my YouTube channel about loving God. Is probably one of the ending teachings of The Secret Place, and it's talking about what to say yes to and what to say no to. And one of the things that you want to say no to is a defiled conscience. You always want to say yes to doing those things, not only what you believe, but also those things that don't violate your conscience. It's the way the Holy Spirit, regulates how you operate in this earth. He does it through your conscience a lot of ways. So if you don't violate your conscience, then it won't be sin to you. All right. If anything violates your conscience, it can cause you trouble. You wonder why things are not working quite like the way they should. There's pollution somewhere. Trust me.
Okay, so how do you get that pollution out?
The way to do it very quickly is a lot of times we get caught up in pride. Lord, I'm not going to do it anymore. Then you turn around and you do it again. Lord, I'm not going to do it anymore. Then you turn around and do it again. Listen, the way you do it is you take it before God and you offer it. You got to offer your flesh as a sacrifice to him. So you give it to God and you ask him, Lord, take this from me. Because your prescription to take it from you may be different than mine, okay? So in order to get rid of fornication, I had to fast for an entire year, every Monday and every Thursday, right? So I started off 21 days in January, and then after that, it was every Monday and every Thursday of every week, and then at the beginning of the month, it was 3 days. And I did that for an entire year just to get rid of fornication because that was my prescription. The Lord may have a different prescription for you, so give it to him. What does it say? It says that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So you got to offer it unto them, because not offering unto him, not giving your total being to God is unreasonable. That's what he says in that scripture. All right. So give it to God. Trust him and ask him. Go on a fast. Ask him, Lord, I need to know how to get rid of this. And he will speak to you, whether it be through a message, whether it be through the word, or whether he will speak to you directly in your prayers or giving you a thought or whatever the case is. He will give you what to do. And when you do it, it will work. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Well, I think that's my time. Well, praise the Lord.
Jason. We really appreciate.